Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with another study in Jeremiah chapter 50. We're now on verses 30 through 34. Let me begin by reading the verses 30 through 34 and then going into an introduction and then taking each verse one at a time. Starting in verse 30. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. In this study, we are first told that because of Babylon's pride in having spiritually destroyed all of Yahweh's churches worldwide, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, during the Great Tribulation, her young men now fall in the streets, and all her men of war are cut off in this day of judgment, ever since May 21, 2011. Then we have a firm statement from Yahweh that he is against Babylon, that is the unsaved people of the world, the proud one, because her day has come, the time that he visits her for punishment, ever since May 21, 2011. As a result, we are told that the proud one in Babylon, that is the unsaved people of this world, stumble and fall, and none raise him up. In fact, a fire is kindled in his cities, and it devours all round about him. Then Yahweh describes how the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. But their Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Let's now take a closer look at all this as we examine each verse one by one. Starting with verse 30 of Jeremiah 50, we read, therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. In the previous verse 29 of our last study, we were told, recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done. Do unto her, for she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. This, we had learned, meant to bring the message of no more eternal salvation upon Babylon, ever since May 21, 2011, just as Babylon had brought no more eternal salvation into all the churches during the spiritual Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, by replacing the true gospel with false gospels and teachings. And we are to bring this judgment upon Babylon because, as verse 29 reads, for she has been proud against Yahweh, against the Holy One of Israel. Now, in our verse of Jeremiah 50 that we begin with today, we are told what will happen to Babylon because of her pride. We read, "Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets." That is because of Babylon's pride in spiritually having destroyed all the Christian churches by false gospels and teachings. "Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets." The young men here are a symbol of strength, as we read in Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Therefore, in saying that her young men shall fall in the streets, we are being told that the strength in general of Babylon will fall, and presumably in the context set by verse 29, which first states, "Call together the archers," Babylon's young men fall by the bows and arrows of the Medes, which we found in our last study represent the tongues and words respectively of the elect, as they declare the end to any possibility of eternal salvation for them ever since May 21, 2011. So, the strength of Babylon, that is the young men, falls as the elect make known that eternal salvation has come to an end. This is due to the fact that without eternal salvation, the Babylonians, also called Chaldeans, are now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and they are also now certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day, in which we now find ourselves. But not only do Babylon's young men, and therefore strength, fall in the streets by the words of the elect of no more eternal salvation, but all her men of war are cut off in that day, says Yahweh. The phrase "in that day" obviously refers to Judgment Day that began on May 21, 2011 and continues to the end. So all of Babylon's men of war are cut off ever since then. But who are Babylon's men of war? And what are they cut off from? First, we know in earthly terms that Babylon's men of war are simply those who go out to physical battle against her enemies. But in spiritual terms, Babylon's men of war are all those who go out to spiritual battle against the spiritual enemies of her. And who of Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, are the people of spiritual warfare? Why, they are the spiritual leaders of the world and churches, of course. So all Babylon's men of war refers to all the spiritual leaders of the world, including the leaders of all the so-called Christian churches. And we are told that they are cut off in the day of judgment that we are now in. What are they cut off from? Why, they are cut off from any possibility of eternal salvation, which means that they are certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved, and all those who remain and are unsaved, will be brought forth unto eternal damnation, which is their annihilation into non-existence forever. Moving on to verse 31 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 31 reads, "Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee." Here we first read, "Behold, I am against thee." The word "am" is not in the Hebrew text, but nevertheless, it is proper to read it into the text as the King James Version has done. Then we read further, "O thou most proud." Here, the "O thou" is not in the Hebrew text, and neither is the word "most" in "most proud." So instead of reading, O thou most proud, it should read, Behold, I am against thee, proud or arrogant one, we could say. Now our verse continues and states, says the Lord God of hosts. Here, the word translated as God is the word Yahweh, and the word translated as the in the Lord God of hosts is the word my. So our verse should read, says my Lord Yahweh of hosts. And the whole first part of our verse now reads, Behold, I am against thee, proud, that is arrogant one, says my Lord Yahweh of hosts. Notice that this sentence speaks of Yahweh as Yahweh of hosts. The word hosts can be translated as armies. So Yahweh here is called my Lord Yahweh of armies. The idea is that the one who is against Babylon is not just Yahweh, but it is Yahweh who has armies to destroy you, O Babylon, most proud and arrogant one. Next, we are given the reason as to why my Lord Yahweh of armies is against Babylon. We read, For thy day is come, the time that I will visit you. Hear the word that. In the time that I will visit you. And the word will is not in the Hebrew text, so it should read, For thy day is come, the time I visit you. And of course, this day and time in which Yahweh of armies comes against Babylon is ever since May 21, 2011. This is the date which marked the beginning of Judgment Day. That time in which Yahweh visits or punishes Babylon for her pride and arrogancy in having had come up against all of Yahweh's Christian churches to spiritually destroy them between May 21, 1988 and May 21, 2011. Well, let's move on to verse 32. Verse 32 of Jeremiah 50. There we read, And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. In this verse we first read, And the most proud shall stumble and fall. First, the word translated as most proud is better translated simply as proud one or arrogant one, as in the previous verse. And next, although our sentence, and the proud one shall stumble and fall, is translated in the future tense as if the proud one would in the future stumble and fall, it need not so be translated. But rather, since we have now reached that period in which the proud one stumbles and falls in Judgment Day, we can legitimately translate our sentence in the present tense according to the Hebrew. So our sentence now reads, And the proud one stumbles and falls, and this proud one stumbles and falls ever since May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. Now who is this proud or arrogant one that stumbles and falls ever since May 21, 2011? In the immediate context, it can refer to every proud person of Babylon, which ultimately refers to every person that is unsaved in the world. For anyone who is unsaved can be considered proud as they stand against the Word of God in many respects. But spiritually, the proud one that ultimately stumbles and falls is Satan himself. He stumbles and falls by the fact that he was deposed from ruling over the world in all the churches on May 21, 2011, and he has now been cast into the lake of spiritual fire where he awaits his soon-to-come annihilation on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. The proud human of Babylon, on the other hand, stumbles and falls ever since May 21, 2011 because he no longer has any possibility of being eternally saved and is thus destined to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day, even as Satan is. Next, our verse continues. We read, "And none shall raise him," that is the proud one, "up. None shall raise him up." That is, the proud one stumbles and falls on Judgment Day, and there is no one to raise him up. As the proud one refers to Satan, this lets us know that Satan has no one to raise him back up to rule over all the churches and the world as he did before May 21, 2011. But as this can also refer to the proud human of Babylon, we are being told that none shall raise him up unto eternal salvation. That is, there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation for the proud or arrogant one of Babylon. And since the proud one of Babylon can have application to every human of Babylon, that is this world, for they are all proud and that none will submit to all of Yahweh's commandments, we are being told that there is no one to raise any one of them unto eternal salvation, but they are all certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day. That none shall raise him up then is another verse revealing that eternal salvation has ended. Christ is not there to raise anyone up unto salvation. Now our verse continues and says, "And I," that is Yahweh, "will kindle a fire in his," that is the proud one's, "cities." Once again, this verse is written in the future tense because when this verse was first written, it was still future when Yahweh would kindle a fire in the proud one's cities. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, it is in the present Judgment Day when Yahweh kindles a fire in the proud one's cities, so that our verse is better translated in the present tense of the Hebrew by writing, "And I," that is Yahweh, "kindle a fire in his," that is the proud one's, "cities." That is, Yahweh kindles a fire now during Judgment Day in the proud one's cities. And just how does Yahweh kindle a fire in the proud one's cities? Well, he does it by the elect who declare judgment upon all the cities of Babylon, that is this world, for fire is often symbolic of judgment in the Bible. So that for Yahweh to kindle a fire in the cities of this world means for him to bring judgment to the cities of this world. And the way he brings judgment is by the elect declaring an end to eternal salvation. That is, as the elect bring Yahweh's word of judgment against Babylon, Yahweh is kindling a fire against Babylon through the elect. As we read in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" And again we read in Psalm 18, verse 8, "There went up smoke out of his nostrils," that's out of Yahweh's nostrils, "and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it." Notice it comes out of his mouth, just like the words come out of his mouth. The word of God comes out of his mouth and it kindles the fire. In addition, we read in Isaiah 30, verse 27, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue..." And from the tongue comes words, "and his tongue as a devouring fire." And in Psalm 104, verse 4, we read, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire." So the elect themselves, his ministers, are as a flaming fire. So what can we conclude from this? Well, as the elect declare the word of God to the entire world, that is Babylon, they are spiritually setting the world on fire. And Yahweh, through the elect, is kindling a fire in the proud one's cities. Now, the proud one, in one respect, can refer to Satan, but in another respect refers to every proud human in the kingdom of Babylon, that is, in this world. Therefore, the proud one's cities are Satan's cities, or the cities of every proud human in the kingdom of Babylon, this world. These cities, of course, refer to the more populated places of Babylon. And it is in these more populated places that our verse says Yahweh kindles a fire ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. But not only does Yahweh kindle a fire in Satan's and the unsaved humans' cities in Babylon, that is in this world, but the fire devours all round about him. That is, the fire kindled by the declaration of God's word of judgment in the cities of Babylon, that is this world, devours all or everyone round about. And it devours everyone round about because the fire kindled by the word of God has removed any possibility for eternal salvation to anyone who was not already saved by May 21, 2011. Which now means that all the billions of unsaved people in the world will remain unsaved until they are all finally annihilated on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Indeed, there is no longer any possible hope for the unsaved, but they are all now certain to perish on the soon to come last day of Judgment Day, for the fire devours all round about. Moving on to verse 33 of Jeremiah 50. Let's move on to verse 33 of Jeremiah 50, where we read, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go." Here we first read, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." The word here translated as Lord, of course, is the word Yahweh. Even though we are not 100% certain that this word Yahweh has the correct vowels in it, since the original text showed no vowels, but only the consonants, nevertheless, at the least, it is a good approximation to that we will assume. It's a good approximation to it, so we will assume that it is spelled correctly. Therefore, our verse reads, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts." Now, the word hosts can be translated as armies, as I've said before, and can refer to both angelic armies and earthly armies, including the armies of the elect, both in heaven and on earth. Ultimately, because Yahweh is sovereign over all things, He is the God over all armies, whether for Him or against Him, because in the scheme of things, all things work out according to His purposes, so that even if an army is against Him, it can still be considered His army, as He uses this army to work out all things according to the good pleasure of His will. But much of this is far too deep for us to fully comprehend. So leave it to say that all armies are Yahweh's armies. He is Yahweh of hosts. He is Almighty Sovereign God, the God of all armies. But next our verse reads, "The children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together." In the historical account, the children of Israel were in the northern kingdom of Israel, and the children of Judah were in the southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom, with its capital in Samaria, was conquered by the Assyrians in 709 BC, after which many of the remaining Israelites that were not taken into exile eventually joined up with the southern kingdom of Judah. But the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital in Jerusalem, was subdued by the Egyptians in 609 BC, and finally conquered by the Babylonians in 587 BC, when many of the children of Israel and the children of Judah were taken into exile, altogether in Babylon. So, we could say, as our verse says, that the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together when the king of Babylon conquered and took them into exile in 587 BC. Yet, we know that this historical event or account was but a type of what happened in all the churches during the Great Tribulation between May 21, 1988 and May 21, 2011. As you know, during this time, the elect, typified by the children of Israel and the children of Judah, were oppressed by Satan and the Babylonians, that is, the false Christians that were in the churches, as they were spiritually conquered and oppressed. The elect were spiritually conquered and oppressed in the churches during this time. Indeed, because the elect stood for truth in all the churches, they were looked down upon, they were shunned, they were treated poorly, they were even in some cases thrown out of or asked to leave the church. Yes, they were oppressed and wronged, even as our verse declares. But not only were they oppressed or wronged in all the churches during the Great Tribulation, but all that took them captives held them fast, they refused to let them go. That is, when Satan took over the churches as their ruler, they became known as Babylon. And it was there in Babylon, in all the churches throughout the world, where the elect were held fast under false gospels and teachings that the elect stood up against. But the churches would not let the elect go, in the sense that the churches would not let the elect spiritually go on to bring truth in all the churches. Instead, the elect were held captive as they were shunned, looked down upon, ignored, and silenced as captives in all the churches, that is Babylon. Eventually, of course, Yahweh commanded his elect to come out from all the churches into exile in the world. That's Babylon also. Until the time would come when he would bring his vengeance upon the world and all the churches, that is Babylon, beginning on May 21, 2011, and then he would bring his people back to their spiritual land of worship, as he is now doing through a pure proclamation of his word without all the false teachings and gospels attached. Well, finally, let's read the last verse that we will cover in this study, verse 34. Verse 34 of Jeremiah 50. This will be the final verse. It states, "Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon." In this verse, we first read, the Redeemer, their Redeemer, is strong. This is precisely what we read in Proverbs 23:11. "For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee." The idea is that although the sins of the elect are great, which caused them to be overthrown by the Babylonians and taken into exile in Babylon, that is, in this world, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, is so much greater, as he has overcome sin and Satan through his own death on the cross, whereby he suffered the consequences of sin that we so deserve in our place, so that even as he rose from the dead, we also would spiritually rise from the dead to a new life in righteousness before May 21, 2011. Indeed, we have been redeemed because our Redeemer is strong or mighty. Now we are told the Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. Literally it reads, Yahweh of hosts is his name. As in verse 31, Yahweh of hosts can be translated as Yahweh of armies and emphasizes Yahweh's strength as all armies both in heaven and on earth belong to him, and he can dispatch them at any time to accomplish his purposes. He has the power and authority to overcome any power, both in heaven and in earth, and therefore he was able to redeem his people from the throes of death, for he even was the power over sin and death, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, our verse continues and reads, he shall thoroughly plead their cause. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that is, the cause of the elect. And what this meant historically is that Yahweh completely pled the cause of the Israelites, namely that they should be allowed to return to their homeland in Israel from Babylon, because Yahweh was merciful to them even though they had committed grave sins. But what this all means for the elect today, that is the true Israelites, is that Yahweh will thoroughly plead their case, namely that because Yahweh, through the Lord Jesus Christ, took the elect's sins upon himself when he was sacrificed on the cross, that is, he paid the price for all their sins by being a ransom for them, they must be permitted to leave Babylon, that is this world, to go unto their own spiritual land, which is ultimately heaven. Spiritually, this is taking place right now. But this will fully be accomplished when the elect are all literally raptured from this world into the new heaven and earth to be revealed on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Indeed, by paying for the elect's sins, Christ satisfied every legal argument against them, so that there is now nothing to keep the elect from legally being translated from Babylon, this world, into the glorious kingdom of God in the new heaven and earth, which is relatively soon to take place. Now our verse further continues and says, he shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land. Literally, to give rest to the land is to make it so that the people in that land are not battling with enemies for their survival, but there is peace and rest throughout the land. But spiritually, to give rest to the land means that the people of that land are not attempting to work or earn their way to heaven, but they are resting in the completed work of Christ on their behalf for their eternal salvation. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Notice that we which have believed, that is, were saved, do enter into rest. So there is a spiritual rest that the elect now have in Jesus Christ. But not only do they now have a present rest in Christ, but they have a rest yet to come in which they have not yet entered. We read about this in Hebrews 4, verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This rest, which yet remains for God's people, is the new heaven and earth, wherein they will be translated on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. So, the whole idea of the land having rest is that the people of God in that land are all saved. And here, we are speaking about a spiritual land of which the true believer becomes a part once saved, and which will transition into the new heaven and new earth on the last day. Therefore, when our verse says that he, that is Yahweh, may give rest to the land, it means that he may make the land to consist of only the elect who are at rest with God in Jesus Christ. This is that spiritual land in which the elect are now a part, and which land will transition into the new heaven and earth, wherein the elect will dwell for all eternity. It is a land at rest, because the elect in that land have rested from their own works of trying to earn their way to God, and now the works of God are being manifested through them in Jesus Christ. So, their works have ceased, but God's works through them are being multiplied. Finally, not only does Yahweh plead the cause of the people of God that he may give rest to the land, that is, that all the land consists of saved people who are at rest and peace with God, but he pleads the cause of his people in order to disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. The word translated as disquiet can be translated as disturb, enrage, or cause to quake. So Yahweh pleads the cause of his people to disturb, enrage, or cause to quake the inhabitants of Babylon. And why would pleading their cause do this? Well, let's think about it. For Yahweh to plead the cause of his elect, he had to suffer on the cross to take on the punishment that his elect so deserve upon himself. And by doing this, he revealed the wages of sin is death, in that he had to suffer death on the behalf of the sins of his elect. But he did not suffer death for Babylon, so they all, that is Babylon, all the people unsaved in this world, must suffer death for themselves because of their sins. Do you see how this would disturb, enrage, or cause them to quake in fear? You see, as Yahweh, through the gospel, pleads the cause of the elect being saved and going to heaven because their sins have been paid for, it puts fear into Babylon as it reveals that the Babylonians, the people of this world, must die for their sins. And this is an unpleasant realization indeed. It disturbs them. It even enrages them. It makes them quake in fear. Therefore, the world, that is Babylon, so much hates the gospel, as it reveals that everyone is a sinner, and thus worthy of death, unless, of course, one be saved in Jesus Christ, which is foolishness to the non-elect, but divine wisdom from God to the elect. So in concluding this study, we first learned that because of Babylon's pride in having spiritually destroyed all the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation, her young men fall now in the streets as punishment from Yahweh. Her young men represent the strength of Babylon, so in that they fall, it is telling us that the strength of Babylon falls ever since May 21, 2011. It falls because there's no longer any possibility of eternal salvation, which means that Babylon is fallen, as she is now certain to soon perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Furthermore, Babylon's men of war are cut off in this day of judgment from any possibility of eternal salvation as well. So they also are certain to soon perish on the last day. Indeed, Yahweh is now against the proud one of Babylon, which in the immediate sense means that he is against all the unsaved in the world, for they are all proud and that they do not freely submit to the word of God. And Yahweh is further against Babylon because Babylon's day has come ever since May 21, 2011. It is now the time for Yahweh to visit and punish her. And he has accomplished this by having eliminated eternal salvation from them so that they are now all guaranteed to soon perish. Yes, the proud one of Babylon now stumbles and falls, and there is none to raise him up, for Christ is no longer present to raise him up unto eternal salvation. But instead, a fire is kindled in his cities, and it devours all round about him, which means that the fire of God's word of judgment has come upon the cities of this world, and it reaches to all round about the cities as well. Then next, we found that Yahweh described the children of Israel and the children of Judah, who both typified the elect, as having been oppressed when they were taken captive by all the churches, that is Babylon, when Satan had been given rule over them from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. During this time, the elect were silenced in all the churches as they were looked down upon, shunned, and even cast out of the church. They were oppressed, and all the churches which took them captives held them fast and refused to let them go from being able to bring truth. Nevertheless, we learned that the elect's Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He thoroughly pleaded their cause that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Yes, he thoroughly pleaded their cause in that he came to this earth as Jesus Christ and suffered and died on their behalf, that they would not all be eternally, that they would all be eternally saved by May 21, 2011, which gave rest to the land because none in that spiritual land any longer worked for their salvation, but they rested in the completed work of Jesus Christ as he works through them to do his good pleasure. This has all disquieted, or we could say disturbed, enraged, or caused to quake in fear all the unsaved people of the world, Babylon, because the pleading that Christ accomplished on behalf of his elect through the gospel revealed all of Babylon to be under the wrath of Yahweh due to their sins. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.